And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, I am your host, Bill, and we're joined by Ted.
Hi, Bill.
And Anna.
Hi.
And Jordan.
Hello, I am the Walrus.
Cuckoo, ca-choo.
I don't even know, like, I've never listened to that song.
See, I was thinking, look at you.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I remember now. I am the Walrus. I am the Walrus. Shut up, Donnie. You're out of your element.
That's right.
You do have a beard going on, though. So
yeah, it's a point of shame. I try not to reveal it much because it generally induces laughing rather than looks of sheer fear and intimidation. People look at it and they're like, I'm sorry.
Are you trying to intimidate people?
No, I got lazy. But like that's what one should aspire for. If you have a truly great beard, people just kind of cower in terror. And
I noticed that when I shaved my head to the scalp and left it that way, people seemed afraid of me.
Do you have a swastika?
No, I don't. But okay. When people started giving me the Sig Hill, I lived in Central Illinois. And when they started doing that, I let it grow out. Because, yeah, no.
I just don't have that problem. I'm bald. Maybe I smile too much. People just don't. You're like, no, you're innocent. You tell great jokes, I bet.
You do have a trustworthy demeanor. Like, it's. I think that the first time we met, I saw you, and you hadn't spoken to me because it was the first time we met. And I was like, I feel like I trust this man.
Yeah. I feel like, you see, I've been compared to the one of the characters on The Sims. Bald guy, big beard, or a beard. It looks a little taller. I mean, he's a little more rounder.
Don't you make your own characters on The Sims?
No, there used to be older ones when on The Sims. I'm talking like...
I never really played The Sims. I played SimCity and the, you know.
I play a lot of Sims, but, I mean, not lately. Yeah. I played it a lot. Ted got me like Sims 4, and
for Christmas a couple years ago.
Yeah, after I finished school.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna buy her a video game when she was in school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started playing that a little bit, and then like I used to play like one of the older Sims before, but I haven't played like the first and second one that. Looks like
The Sims.
Yeah, like you as as a character.
Yeah, it's old. I played, I think it was 2, and I had expansions, all that, and all the cheat codes. And then about 3 hours later, I realized that I should never play this game again.
I got stuck in the loop because I know you're supposed to do stuff in it, but all I could do is torture my Sims, just build little obstacles that they can't escape, and then they... I guess I fast forwarded and watched them weep and pee themselves, and then they died.
I never thought about that. Never tried that. Didn't think about that till after.
That's all I could do.
See, I built cities in SimCity, and then
how on earth did you build?
Brought.
Did you ever play Sim Earth?
Brought people in to destroy it. You know.
Yeah.
Godzilla or whatever, and then rebuilt.
That works.
Yeah.
The UFOs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
You ever do Sim Earth?
No, I did do Spore. That's kind of like Sim Earth, right?
Something. Okay. Well, I guess we'll talk about stuff in the show notes.
Well, I had a question. Okay. I've seen like people are really up in arms about the whole Last Jedi, but it's like they're saying that it tanked. But I thought like financially it was doing really well.
No, financially it's doing really well. It's just that it had the biggest drop between weeks, so it's made a lot of money.
Okay. Now that's the other thing is, okay, depend. So they're sticking with the weekend as the Saturday Sunday,
okay,
which is fair if you're going to do anything like that, mm-hmm, not including Christmas, the Monday Christmas. Because the Monday Christmas actually ended up making, they had less of a drop.
Yeah. So you think like maybe people were waiting till Christmas Day to go see it instead of
the weekend? Well, it was less of a drop. It was like a temper. Yeah. It went from 60 to 50% less drop.
That's not great.
Yeah. So it lost the between the first weekend and second weekend, it lost $150 million. But it's still the second largest, or still the largest second weekend ever.
And it's tracking to, I think it's tracking on the second highest grossing movie of the year. And it may actually become the highest grossing movie.
The highest grossing second week?
Yes.
So they're still doing amazing.
Yeah.
But people have to find something to complain about the movie about. And so that's what they say.
Well, it's the largest drop. So it made so much money in the opening. And then compared to it had a larger drop between, like, not percentage wise, I don't think it holds the record.
Like, it's actually just straight up cash.
Yeah.
Loss.
Yeah.
Well, that's just not a good comparison then. That's just stupid.
When you can hit both the greatest and the worst in the same.
Well, because, you know, if you have a gigantic opening, of course you're not going to be able to hit those numbers again. And if they broke records with their second weekend, then there's nothing you can say about that other than.
That's why I kind of.
And I saw, like, other movies that had this were, like, The Deathly Hallows Part 2, which I think that rated real well on.
That one
on
still is different. Up there. Yeah, overall.
These
movies just make so much.
I guess people are just finding something to complain about things.
I think it's worth paying attention to. It depends on what the following weeks will do, because if this makes about as much as Rogue One or in that area, then I think that Disney will try to readjust their approach for the following movie, and they'll say, all right, so it made a lot of money, but clearly there's a problem and we need to address this so that the next movie will make a lot more money. And so that's why, like, of course it's Star Wars. It's going to make tons of money. But the problem is that that's because it's sort of in its pinnacle of popularity. Mm-hmm. And if that diminishes, then the franchise will make less and less, and they don't want that.
Yeah, actually, when you told me that article earlier this week, or maybe it was actually right at the, like, it was like Tuesday, I think you posted, didn't you?
Or I don't even, every day is another day.
Well, I was looking at the overall, it was like 75th place in the overall box office. Now it's already in 61st. So there's the talk, it's already going to break the billion mark, but it is going slower than its predecessor, than Episode 7 was. The Return of the Jedi.
Which I think is expected.
Days. Well, it's about, you know, for where it made its first $600 million, it took 12 days, while Return of the Jedi took, I think it was 8.
Oh, okay.
So there's, you know.
Is that Return adjusted for Jedi? Inflation?
No, it's not adjusted for inflation.
Because, I mean, that makes a difference, but. But it sounds like just rich people complaining about not being rich enough. It seems kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's going to break it'll probably break the billion mark by before the end of the year. And what? We have Thor in front of it for this year?
Okay, I saw Furious 7 at the top, so.
Oh, yeah, no, top 10 movies of all time. Yeah, they're.
What is?
Oh, and also, you're talking about the loss of Harry Potter.
Yeah, and
the Deathly Hallows
Part 2. It's number 8, so.
Yeah. Eighth largest
money maker.
I would
say that's not something even to worry about.
Yeah, I would pay attention to this. Again, it depends on how it will continue to perform. But this is something like Spider-Man 3, the Tobey Maguire one. It made a lot of money. It wasn't considered by any means a box office failure. Yet after that, due to the reception, the franchise was canceled. They didn't do Spider-Man 4. And the reason is because of this, indicators, which, like, the following movie may not be worth an investment because of what they anticipate it will make based on the reception.
Yeah.
And so if this has a hugely diminished reception compared to The Force Awakens, like, and that remains to be seen, this is just one indicator that it may not do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ultimately, that's what matters. If this performs less, it has this divisive division within the fan base, then they're probably going to definitely change their approach for the next movie.
So I saw an online petition. I just read the headline. I didn't go to it, saying, like, petition to shut down the Rotten Tomato over their rating of The Last Jedi.
Well, over the public's rating, not the actual critic's rating.
Right, right.
Because apparently the public's rating there's bots that are supposedly voting and people that are creating multiple fake accounts
just well, so they can.
That's in IMDb though. They're not going to shut it down.
One's going to shut it down. Those. I mean, I think it's been proved time and time again that online petitions are just worthless. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's not even worth the time to click to it to read the little crap that they put on there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the only online petition was under the Obama years. They had a thing there where you could put a petition, you could put something on there, and then if it got so many, like, people putting their name down saying I agree with this, they had to address it in some way. Like, that's the only time it's ever been close to online petitions ever came close to mattering, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. The Death Star and the
I want to do an online petition
to shut down online petitions
to do that. And also I feel that even though they make a lot of money, I feel like it's in humanity's interest that we stop Fast and Furious. I feel like
that's what Furious 7 is, right? Or is that a different movie?
Yeah, that's Fast and Furious 7.
Was that the one after the dude died?
I think that was the one where the dude died.
The Fate of the Furious.
That's the one after the dude died. Paul Walker, where he walked on.
But was that the Fate of the Furious? So
The Fate of the Furious is after Paul Walker's character was retired.
But, like, when the guy actually died, there was one about to release, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's Furious 7.
The Furious 7, okay.
Paul Walker, he is in
so
a
it's on the it's on the top 10, probably, because people were like, yeah, it's kind of sad.
Well, lots of actors have died,
which has made movies do better than they normally
would. Yeah, but
not it's got a boost.
Over a billion and a half better.
That means you're comparing against six. I don't even know what the name of it is. It's probably on the top 100 easy.
No, the reason it made that much money is because there are lots of people who like that series.
So it only doubled the money between six and seven.
Yeah, overall. It, yeah.
I don't know.
It did. 7, 8, 8.
Well, I'm not sure if you can say that it was directly because of Paul Walker.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, that happens.
Yeah.
Where is, like, The Dark Knight on that list?
If
it's listed on the top.
They used to be in the top.
Yeah, there it is.
The Dark Knight, 31. Like, it used to be in the top 20.
Oh, that was the first one on the list to break a billion. Not time-wise, but the lowest ranking that breaks a billion.
The lowest billion. There's only three over 2 billion. And The Force Awakens.
And still, you can't trust these lists anyways, because Avatar and Titanic are 1 and 2. And those are giant re-released. Steaming turds.
People enjoyed them.
I just did.
But they are also re-released.
That's the first clause.
No, they were also re-released.
Well, then they only gained a few hundred million upon the re-release.
Now that pushed Titanic in the 2 billion mark.
Mm-hmm. But like Jurassic World, that's a horrible movie.
Oh yeah, that's a turd too. Yeah.
I enjoyed that one. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay.
Age of Ultron.
Okay, that one I wasn't a fan.
See, the only one that I agree with that like should be up there is Harry Potter.
Yeah, that
was Frozen was good.
Frozen was it?
See, look, Minions made 13, but where's Despicable Me, which is... The Minions movie was just okay. Despicable Me was amazing.
Transformers. Any of those do not belong on that list.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, all of them are on...
Hey, look, Captain America. The better Avengers movies than Avengers.
Civil War was good. I liked Civil War.
Like I said, Captain America makes better Avengers movies than Avengers movies.
Yeah, that's a really depressing list. It makes me sad.
Beauty and the Beast, number one for this year.
I don't understand it. There's a cartoon that made that much money.
No, that is not. That is the live action.
Well, I'd say that would be justified on the list. I feel like Beauty and the Beast is if someone said that's a top 10 sort of movie, I'd say, okay.
It is, actually, officially.
Yeah. The inferior version.
I guess I just don't like movies that people like.
It's a hit or miss. Everyone has their style. I'm not a fan of Avatar. But people like it. People like it enough that he wants to make 5 more, but we're going to see whether Disney allows it or not.
I don't know if I like
it. Well, actually, let me raise that. Disney's going to allow it because they're also getting Avatar Land.
He's making 4 more, I think.
4 more? Oh, yeah. I thought it was 5 more. Okay, it's 4 more, and actually, they may make him do 5 because they're doing Avatar Land. Yep, Disney is doing an Avatar theme park, and now they own both the theme park and the movie rights. So, of course, they're going to say, hey, Cameron, if you don't do this, we'll find somebody who will.
Are they going to have huge semi-naked cat people in the theme park?
I don't know. There's all I know is they have the rights to it, and they're working
it. It always bugged me that they connected their braids to perform coitus, and then right after they did that, they connected their braids to the animals. It's like, okay,
yeah, that's bestiality.
I see what's going on here. Yeah. Everybody getting groovy with everybody else.
That's true.
And, like, some of those animals weren't even super willing.
No, it was,
you know,
it
what
was
I mean?
Involuntary. They,
yeah,
they don't have any regard for, I mean, I feel like as soon as they achieve some awareness 40 years down the line, there will be some reports, allegations made. And people will, careers will be destroyed in the Avatar world.
I hope it's James Cameron.
He's a good man. He's a very decent man, apparently.
Okay, how about Peter Jackson? How's he?
I like Peter Jackson. He had that one movie about the zombies where the guy's running through the house with a chain, with a lawnmower.
Dead Alive.
Huh?
Dead Alive.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. Did you buy that movie recently?
I bought tons of schlock movies. Yeah. Mostly Italian schlock movies, and that's not Italian.
Not, it's New Zealand. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had some amazing claymation in that movie. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was good old glorious, glorious.
It still baffles me how they saw that movie and went, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and make Lord of the Rings? We're sure you'll do a good job.
It is because of Heavenly Creatures that he really landed the job.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
It's a really good movie.
Is it? Yeah. Might have to check it out.
It's about a matricide.
Oh.
Is it a comfortable mattress?
A very comfortable mattress.
Okay, cool.
The mattress itself is not comfortable in any state because there's a side of it.
That's why they killed it.
Ah. Oh, well. Well, I wonder, he has written and is producing Mortal Engines.
Okay, let's be fair. Studio Ghibli wrote Mortal Engines. And he's just, you know, live actioning it.
Okay, maybe. We'll go with that. But he is not directing it. He's having somebody else. He's going to...
Are there going to be explosions, if you know what I mean?
Explosions? With, yeah. Studio Ghibli?
Michael Bay?
Oh, no. No, it is not. No, Michael Bay is too big of a name. No, this is like we'll have to look it up again. But they have a new director. So Mortal Engines, it felt very Mad Max. But
I don't think that was very Mad Max.
Well, the world's all tore apart, and then you have these mini cities driving around, people living out, and then, like, oh, what's that? It's like, it's London. It's a giant moving city.
And it was very pretty. It was not end of the world looking. It was very, like, they had manicured gardens and everything like that. Mad Max is more like Fallout 4, right?
Have you seen Mad Max, the first one?
Yeah. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it is.
They weren't manicured at all. There was nothing good left.
No, yeah. that's the second Mad Max. The first Mad Max, everything was basically...
Oh, it was normal until fecal matter struck the rotary oscillator.
That's right.
But...
And then it was all covered in stuff.
Yeah, and then it was bad. Mm-hmm. It was not good.
That's true. But the first one, you get the slightly peeved Max who... He's not even peeved... For most of the movie, he's just driving around.
Slightly Irritated Max. Yeah. Wouldn't have been as good of a movie name.
Well,
Annoyed Max.
I feel like it has a catchy ring to it. Slightly Irritated Max.
Awesome. Way to go. We killed it.
All right, so Howl's or Mortal Moving Castle.
Howl's Mortal Engine. You know, if it's fired by a living... If it's powered by a living flame, I'm done. I walk out of the movie
point. It almost looked like it when, you know, they engulfed the small city into London. It was almost... You know, I had that moment. I was like, huh. I wonder if these people are dead. Like, are any of these people they just showed us important? Or is this going to be like, you know, Last Jedi type of trailer? Like, see everything we showed you? Yeah, that actually is nowhere in the movie. We're just nix that and moving on.
That's right.
It kind of reminds me of, oh gosh, what was that? Outland, Other Worlds. It was a really cartoony FPS where the whole city. Borderlands. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the whole city just picks up and flies away.
Have you, have you played
Borderlands too, but
Tail Games? Oh man, that's amazing.
Apparently, I actually never played Borderlands 2.
Yeah, I got it on a Steam sale a little while back, and it was really good. Like, everything's got their like black borders, which is a little weird to see on a video game, but like it was a style choice, and it worked. Like, it was pretty good.
I know it was given the award for the most individual guns. Video game.
All the weapons are just kind of randomly generated, and they're just like, here's a rocket shotgun. Good luck.
Yep. But because of that setup, it actually has made we can create X amount of weapons.
Right. Yep.
IGN.com. You have Steam 10 out of 10. IGN 5.4 out of 10.
No, they just want to give it 10 out. They just want to give it 10. They just gave it a 10 out of all the stars.
I gave it a 5 out of 7. It's a perfect score.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought it was 7 out of 5.
No, 5 out of 7.
It was 5 out of 7?
Yeah, 5 out of 7.
Perfect score.
Perfect score.
There we go. All right. I don't know. I'm looking forward to that movie.
Let's go. Yeah. I do feel that you, in one sentence, packed all the happiness and despair in the world by saying, Michael Bay is too big of a name for it. It's happiness because, yeah, probably. And so it's not a surety that, because it's a cool idea, and so it's not going to totally be ruined. Same time, the fact that we live in a world where Michael Bay is too big of a name for anything is also tremendously sad.
Actually, yeah, I did say I forgot to look that up. Christian Rivers is who's directing.
I mean, you think about some of the more popular figures in our current society, and there's a lot to be depressed about.
Yeah.
So he has directed Mortal Engines
and shorts,
Peter, and a short, which is a short, and then a short for the short.
That's great.
Yes.
Well, that's how Neil Blomkamp, or whatever his name is, started out, and apparently ended too, so there's no indication on the quality of the movie.
Well, he still has,
Plus, Peter Jackson. Something to prove, right?
And I'm sure Peter Jackson is going to stand over him and be like, "All right, yes, I like the way you're going with this. You should probably go that way a little bit."
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. It should be interesting, at least.
It's reviving the career of Hugo Weaving, too, so that's a good thing.
Oh, and this is many years after the 60-Minute War.
That's a good show.
Yeah.
I feel bad they, all fought that one day.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was thrown off the air, all live broadcast, just kind of halted because of it.
Rough.
I know.
So, theaters are warning moviegoers that there's an extended amount of silence in the new Star Wars film?
Yes.
What's that about, Bill?
All right. That is about the scene. There's a scene towards the end where an event happens.
Someone does something that I think was slightly ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay.
And everything gets quiet.
Uh-huh.
Like, no music, no sound, no nothing. And
it would have been a perfect moment if something else hadn't occurred.
Yes, but it made sense. I was in on that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Without spoiling, because we already did spoilers last week and we're early, so we won't talk about this as regular. But so I did not, thinking about it, I was like, oh yeah, there was nothing. Like, it was quiet. And I think it was just brought into the moment because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think about it, but apparently it got bad enough that theaters...
People thought that the sound was broke, and they, like...
Workers,
went
people,
to go, like, yeah, oh, customers. Fix it, fix it.
Mm-hmm. for 10 seconds. People couldn't stand 10 seconds of silence.
That's kind of ridiculous. I can see, like, someone who works there freaking out a little bit if they didn't know that it was coming. But, like, a patron, you should just deal with. Oh, my God.
And, well, that's the other thing, 'cause a lot of these were also in the booths, you know, where they were playing it from. So they were, like, suddenly they freaked out. They were like, did we download it right?
Right.
Did the hard drive kind of crash for a moment?
Mm-hmm. No, I can see that. Like I said, with the, I guess when you send it to them, you should be warning them that there's at this timestamp, don't worry, it is going to go silent.
Well, they do that. Martin Scorsese made a movie where he warned people properly about silence.
Well, but how long was the silence in that?
It was off and on. It was frequent, but
he
took care, like extra care. He named the movie Silence.
Well, then I would have been okay. I don't know. I'm like, duh. Like this, I'm just like this is stuff that they had to post either in the theater or you know, just all around for 10 full seconds, or for about 10 full seconds.
I don't think that really matters, though. Just 10 seconds out of the movie, rather.
It freaks somebody out, you know, like, wait, why is it quiet? And I think I was in the moment so much, I didn't even realize it was quiet.
Yeah. I might have started to cry a little bit at that point, actually. Yeah. And then something stupid happened and it completely broke me out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this. There is a creative choice where there is an extended period of silence.
This isn't a technical issue. Don't bug us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense for there to be silence there, too. I don't know. It seems...
You mean dramatic sense?
Yeah.
And also physical just, sense because they're in space.
Just, well, yeah, that
Except
too.
Although,
all.
Yes, I know.
Wait,
Star
they've
Wars
proven
physics.
It wrong that there's.
Sound travels
space.
Through space.
According
still
to what?
Science.
There's no medium through which the sound waves.
There is still stuff there.
There's,
because it is thinner.
Almost nothing there.
Almost. But there's still stuff.
So that's going to greatly diminish the sound.
You guys know who's right among the two of you? Bill's right. There actually is some molecules.
There's a bit of stuff in the nothing, but...
But it is... Like, humans wouldn't be able to hear it.
Yeah. So, oh, look at that. Yeah. We're back to silence. There has to be a medium through which it can travel.
Yeah, there it is. That's the correct one. Sound can travel through space after all, but we can't hear it. It's a matter of it's a vibration of molecules, and if you have molecules in space,
I'm not debating that. Okay. I'm debating is it a sound if you can't hear it? No, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah, it is a sound.
But
it's
what if you
not,
can? Well, is
it's
it
immaterial?
Energy? But is it something if you can see?
We
it?
Won't hear the lasers go pew pew pew. Okay.
Yeah, in that sense, like in the sense that it's represented for us to hear. As it is in Star Wars.
Firefly is better than Star Wars in that respect. There's a bunch of space scenes in Firefly, and they always have silence unless there's comm chatter and you can hear them over the comms.
Yeah.
But like even when they dock, unless you're inside one of the two things that are docking, it's completely silent. Even when like air blows out of the thing or whatever, you can't hear anything.
Yeah. But I don't know. As far as the accurate physics in Star Wars, that's not a reliable series to go to for accurate physics.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's why Star Trek is always superior to Star Wars.
In that respect, it definitely is.
Oh, just in general, though.
So, the director and creator of the Furious 8 wants to do Star Trek. And there's actually talk.
I don't really care who the director is.
Didn't he already do that? Furious directors already do Star Trek, Justin Lin?
No. We're talking Tarantino.
Fast and Furious?
No. Did I say Furious? I meant Hateful. Sorry.
Hateful Eight.
wrong one. Hateful Eight. Sorry.
I would like to watch a Star Wars movie with a couple MFers in it.
Except for you forget that Star Trek is in a future where racism and, you know, language, strong language like that.
There are still people that have strong language. I'm good with it.
Okay.
They might not be dropping N-bombs, which I am fine with.
Mm-hmm.
But
nitrogen?
Nitrogen. You're right. Yours is nitrogen.
Okay. Well, it's hard to make a bomb out of nitrogen.
Yeah.
Actually,
that's I was like, isn't that...
No, I think I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, I was like, isn't that the first atomic bomb?
No, not atomic bombs, but like...
Bomb wasn't helium.
Well,
there's an atomic bomb that used uranium, and then there's then there's the H-bomb, which used hydrogen. Used deuterium and tritium into helium.
You know, plus the what was it? Oklahoma City was...
They used
fertilizer, which is basically the nitrogen out of that. Speaking of uranium, though, I was reading an article online that was pretty interesting, talking about why there are no chemistry kits these days, and it's because, you know, science stops being fun when you accidentally poison yourself or burn yourself with acid or things of that nature, which was a common thing. It was hard to have science or chemistry experiments or whatever that were safe to do at home that like kids wouldn't like harm themselves with. But back in the 50s, like between 1951 and 52, they actually put out a kit, a chemistry type kit for young scientists, and it was actually nuclear. I can't remember exactly what it was, like what they called it, but it had a Geiger counter.
Mm-hmm.
It had a small amount of plutonium in a glass jar that said, do not remove this from the glass jar. Mm-hmm. And then it's had some experiments where you could actually look in and see the radioactivity of it, and you could make it glow and do some other things with it. But it was like, don't break the jar. It's not safe outside of the jar.
Why would a jar matter?
It was lead-based jar, like it's a small enough amount of plutonium, then you wouldn't... Mm. It wouldn't be able to escape.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like they used to coat dishes and stuff like that with uranium, and so uranium was a big thing. I don't know about the practical applications of plutonium, like as far as that goes.
It might have been uranium. I might be wrong about
either
the
way.
Substance,
uranium but, was but yeah, have it.
It was only like a year, and they were like sending it out to kids and stuff. And so yeah,
but it kind of goes with the Back to the Future. What, in the 80s, you can just pick up, you know, uranium at the 7-Eleven.
But yeah, apparently back then in the 1951,
you could yeah,
you just got to buy a whole bunch of those sets.
That must have been like a latency period before, because people were fully aware of the radioactivity of uranium and its biological consequences. I think the full awareness was like in the 30s.
I think the thing about it, I think what happened is, like, you know, people always say, well, when I was a kid, we didn't have all these safety things and I lived just fine. It was like, well, that's great survivor bias you got right there. But yeah, a lot of kids weren't okay. And some of those kids, their parents got them this radioactive set that made all their hair fall out. So.
Yeah. But no, that's pretty interesting. It's, chemistry kits. I've always wanted to get one. I never actually...
Yeah, they don't actually sell them. They sell like electronics kits these days. Yeah. But and there was one like in the 90s or more recently. Actually, I think it was like 5 years ago or something like that. That was like a chemistry kit containing no chemicals. And it just had a book of, you know, go get these things from underneath your sink and we'll build this cool science experiment.
Yeah.
Which caused kids to like spill bleach all over themselves or, you know, whatever. So...
Well,
yeah, it didn't last very long.
Fortunately, create your own science kit, just because most of that stuff available in the science kit is just available in parts.
Yeah, readily available.
Well, that's why they just gave you the book. They're like, we're going to save us money and sell it to you at the same price.
Well, I'm sure they thought they could get out from underneath the liability of the kids harming themselves. But, I mean, the book was telling them to go get dangerous chemicals from underneath the sink. Book.
Ask for your parents' permission. Get help from parents. Of course, the kids, you know, just didn't follow.
Oh, are they gonna? The kids are gonna be like, "Hey, mom, can I do the Sarin's experiment?" And they're gonna be like, "Yeah, sure."
Done.
Think it's safe, and then the next thing you know, they've got bleach and ammonia, and they're like, "Let's make mustard gas."
So, you know, that's why parents should read the books that they give their children. Oh, just like,
be real, Bill.
Understand the games.
Bleach and ammonia. That doesn't make mustard gas, by the way. That's a common misconception. Like,
okay, I don't know what it makes, but it burns your lungs like a mofo JoJo because urine has a fair amount of ammonia in it, and I was cleaning urinals by dumping bleach in them and letting them sit for a little bit and then flushing the toilet, and I got a lung full.
Yeah, I don't think the quantity in urine, because it actually kills you. Like, if you...
I'm sure it would have, yeah.
But not urine level. Ammonia.
You're not dead.
Like, you felt some effects, but I mean, if you actually have part and part ammonia and bleach and you just kind of combine them, that generally will kill a person or incapacitate them.
I think it's a matter of how much you got and how long you were exposed to it.
There's your mistake. The chlorine gas does not have sulfur.
But they used in the war, World War One, chlorine gas, and so.
Oh, so they're not going to tell you what what mustard gas is exactly, but there is also sulfur. So just go bleach, ammonia, and I don't know, rotten eggs or just eggs, right? Egg yolks.
Sure. I don't know. Don't do this at home. Let's go with that.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
Give it a shot because it might be a super cleaner.
Quit what? Giving us liability.
I
like zero of that.
When this happened to me, I coughed for a good 20 minutes and almost passed out, and it was horrible. And that was just a little bit, like it just kind of hit me in the face. And yeah, it was really bad.
I usually, whenever I take a restroom break, I try to be able to make myself be able to properly pee. I usually pour.
I was cleaning the restrooms.
Okay.
Yeah, those of us who have jobs.
We had to start off at the janitor jobs. I did that for quite some time.
Yeah. I worked at Burger King. I cleaned urinals.
Was it?
Horrible. Yeah. I almost died.
Yeah. Well, I believe you. When someone tells me that working as a janitor or cleaning out urinals and Burger King is horrible, I believe them.
Mm-hmm.
The chlorine gas.
Yeah. Chlorine gas. There you go. Bleach is just chlorine, so.
That makes sense. Well, let's get it out of science. We'll go with different stuff.
Okay.
Science overrated, right?
That's what I always say.
So Bitcoin finally took a dump, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it actually. I forgot to look that up because it went up to like 20k.
It was at 16k, and I was telling my coworkers, I was like, I would dump right now. Looks like it's pretty steady over the last couple days.
Yeah, it did go up to 20, so it's been dropping. But it's, if this was real money, like if this was like even the U.S. currency,
it is real money.
No, it's a nice trading option.
It's a medium through which you can
purchase. Yeah, it's a medium which you can purchase nothing right now because it costs $20 per transaction to do, and the one company that was taking it, Steam, one online company. I'm sure there's plenty.
No, you can still buy tons of drugs with this stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure you could, but with Steam, you know, the one of the bigger online for normal people, they stopped taking it because they are like, we can't revert. You know, when the change in the market, it's too expensive for transaction fees, especially when you're talking about dollars for, you know, a couple of dollars for games.
Mm-hmm.
And these microtransactions, you are paying more in transaction fees than you are for games on Steam.
I think I was reading an article about banks investing in Bitcoins.
There was a lot of different people investing in Bitcoin, like traders and things like
as
that.
As a sort of recent thing that banks were en masse. Mm-hmm. I am curious.
I think that's what's kind of helped just blow it up so much.
And I also just think it's another round. There's probably going to be another, you know, Mog bank or Mog, I forget the names, like Mog something think that it's going to just crash it all out again. They're going to find some. And it's plus, it takes hours for transactions to happen.
Yeah, because those blockchains are so big now. Which was the whole point to begin with, is that it takes a long time now to get a Bitcoin, like mining it, but like tons of people are mining it, but it's no longer worth the power usage.
Well, that's why when you're mining it, you create these blockchains and you stop making money off of the blockchain, of getting the coins off the blockchains, but you end up making money off of people doing transactions through your blockchain now.
I don't know how that would work, Bill.
Oh, that's what I actually read. That's I've been researching this
for long enough.
I should have bought it.
You're not going to explain how that works?
Yeah, they mine a block, and then they have this. They own said block, and what they do is you can say, "I'm going to mine this block, and I want transactions to go through this at X amount." And this problem is where Bitcoin started going up. When you say, "I want for the X amount," it starts mining the highest one first. So that's why transaction fees skyrocketed, because as Bitcoins went up, people started mining blocks at a higher rate, saying that I can get some extra cash off of this, making it worth, again, for me spending, you know, putting my video cards towards this, my electricity and everything. So they're able to skim money from off of transactions, like your banks kind of do. And the reason I argue that Bitcoins also were terrible is because if this was the U.S. currency, all countries would dump it immediately, and the U.S. themselves would freak out because this is too. This was raised. Or this rose
inflation's
too fast.
Going too high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it went too high too fast.
I wouldn't disagree that it's an uncertain currency, but I'm just disputing the idea that it isn't a currency. It's a currency.
It's a currency in that there's a limited quantity of the item,
and people have faith in it to purchase and buy and sell.
But it's like, so as soon it's as like gold and precious gems. No, that's exactly what Bitcoin's like. It's like gold and precious gems because it has this up and down. It compares against the dollar and everything. You mine them, you get them. You can trade them for actual.
But gold and precious gems, there's an actual physical presence to it. And with these, you just have your blockchain, whatever, but you don't.
Well, you still have your wallet with the currency.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the difference between?
It's a virtual currency.
Okay,
though.
So is the dollars in my bank account a virtual currency?
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're.
Yeah,
right.
I was like, that's why I was like, this is still that, but there is still a limited quantity.
Yeah,
whether it's a virtual item or a physical item, there is still a limited quantity.
But there should be a 1-to-1 ratio to a physical object that exists in every bank versus what exists in reality. So
I don't know about that. I feel like
they're supposed to be.
We're phasing out. Like as soon as we detached ourselves from the gold standard, that became less. We moved more and more towards this non-physical representation of currency. And I think that Bitcoin will be an eventual the eventual form of. I feel that we'll eventually go full digital. But I thought that you were going to argue the idea of liquidity. In gold versus Bitcoin, because they seem to like one of the things about actual cash currency.
Oh, like you can melt gold.
Exactly. You can also you can melt gold. You cannot melt Bitcoins, and that's kind of a problem.
Okay. Let's go with diamonds.
So, but the thing is that
I can't melt diamonds.
That's
joking.
I know. I was like,
there is an actual use other than for trade for gold and gems and things of those nature.
That they have alternate.
Well, they're much less liquid than the dollar bill. The dollar bill is
honestly
extremely liquid,
and Bitcoins are not extremely liquid at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they have. That's why I compare them to.
Unless you want to buy a bunch of meth or like heroin or something like that.
Well, and some of those people aren't even wanting that anymore because they're worried. You know, they probably should. I shouldn't say. Yeah, I don't. Okay, I don't know. They should be worried that they're going to get this, and then it's going to become worthless to them.
I don't know. I feel extremely uninformed on this subject. No economist.
There's also a you can track the money. Bitcoins are trackable.
Yeah. No. It's but the anonymity is that like they have to get a hold of your wallets. But once they get a hold of your wallet, then they can see every transaction that you've ever done.
I don't need to get a hold of your wallet. I just need to get a hold of that coin. And if you have sent me, if I can track your coin,
yeah, if
the
you
coin
can get
through,
me to send it,
that means well,
then I can figure out what your number is or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
I can figure out your wallet. I can figure out a lot of information. There is a lot of information in these coins. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you got a coin will mean you will more than likely have spent the coin. If you spend the coin and I eventually get it, I can track it back because of the blockchains.
Right. But that's, I mean.
And that's why there's only one cryptocurrency that has no record currently. And they had to do a lot to make to show the trust of the currency.
Wait a second. So what I'm hearing is, my impression about the reason that this currency has taken off, and a lot of unstable countries tend to, people within it invest in it, is because of anonymity of
and
it.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is like it's anonymous currency while it's unspent, but as soon as it's been spent, the receiver has the capability of tracking.
But what if you've got it in your wallet, they can see where it came from. They won't know what it's for, but they can see who it came from.
And you can, you know, just like with the dollars, with dollar bills, you can get them washed.
Mm-hmm.
So which means they can tell that you had this, but then you have it washed over to a clean wallet.
Washed as in laundered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Yeah, I was just making sure. Well, I understand that there's like it's totally public, all transactions, as in there's a public logging of every transaction.
That's what the blockchain is on the coin.
Okay.
So the coin has a blockchain that tells you exactly where it's been, and it's hard to, it's supposed to be impossible, but I will just say it's hard to fake that blockchain. It's supposed to be incorruptible.
And
so
that's what makes it also trustworthy. Mm-hmm. On how, why, you know, that the market's not flooded with a bunch of fake coins.
Yeah, so two people can't say that I own this coin. It's pretty obvious who actually owns the coin.
That would be really interesting.
Or which wallet
contains
the coin.
Seeing the algorithm, which
I think it's all open source.
Yeah. So you can go research all that. I think the of the ones that actually have, because if you're going to be truly anonymous, that means there is no record of this. But that means you need to trust that the market will not be flooded with fake coins, like Zcash. And I think there was another one. They actually set up how they built everything. They had like 20 people. Everyone randomly typed on a keyboard, so there was a giant code. Destroyed the computers that were, and the hard drives that were randomly typed on, so they couldn't, you know, all these records and everything else couldn't be tracked. But they showed all the steps they went through to show that this is secure. And because they also went through, because they proved it was secure, it also meant that nobody can introduce fake currency into it. Therefore, you can't see the record of it at all, and you know that there isn't. But if at any point you question its validity of somebody making fake coins, if there's no tracking system, you can't trust that it's actually fake.
There's clear flaws as far as security goes in the system itself. But I, you know, as from this non-economist projection, I will say that this feels like a Napster. It's going to be the future, but it's not going to be, this iteration
is not going to survive.
Yeah.
But the concept in general is what the future is going to look like.
I think that's true.
I think that's a valid assessment as well.
There you go. There's your, it in the last 24 hours, it's gone down 3.5%.
Oh man, the market cap. That's a very large market cap.
Actually, I've been hearing about Ethereum a little bit.
Ethereum,
yeah. And Bitcoin Cash was supposed to extend the amount of, or how much the blockchain could hold. It ended up creating a giant flaw. That's why it started off high, then it dumped really bad. Now they're starting to fix some of the issues. Litecoin is easier to mine, but it's not worth a whole lot. Well, actually, it's doing fairly well now. I remember when it wasn't.
You know, if Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett all went into a room with each other, they'd basically be the worth of Bitcoin.
So there you go.
Those three men.
Of a Bitcoin. Don't forget that. A Bitcoin.
No. The entire...
Oh. No. Yeah. Yeah. All of the worth.
Eventually,
no, yeah.
A Bitcoin will be worth that. That's pretty awesome. Right? It's funny.
I don't know. I feel it's too volatile. I mean, just look at the... You know, the seven-day graph. I mean, just how much... I'm sure if we actually looked over a longer time period, like, just seeing it go up and crash, and it's been doing it for... Oh, that is really... That's not...
Yeah, that's everything.
Oh, like, okay, I guess there was the crash in back in 14.
So it needs to go
when
to the...
They falsely built it up. I swear it was worth way more than that.
Yeah, so it needs to go to the Lehman Brothers and bet against the market.
They actually just had a Big Bang Brothers episode of Big Bang.
Big Bang Theory. I was like,
yeah. I don't know why I said brothers. A Big Bang Theory episode about Bitcoin, how they mined a bunch back in the day and then they forgot about it. And they were like, but they were like, it's up to $5,000 now. And it's kind of funny because I'm like, well, yeah, no. But yeah, so it was a fun episode. They were like looking for the laptop that holds it. And that's funny because I know of at least one person who was talking about a loved one who had passed away who had mined Bitcoins and the wallet is still on their computer. Mm. But their computer is in the possession of someone that this person doesn't talk to.
Aww.
So, yeah, there's like probably $100,000 or more worth of Bitcoin on that computer at this moment.
Sounds like the potential for another Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah. We just need to find out where it is and we can break into the...
There you go.
And we got to hurry, though, because it's dropping.
Yep, got to go. So,
yeah. It'll pick back up before it drops again.
I recommend Jumanji.
Woo, Jumanji.
A lot of penis jokes, but I think there's like 4, maybe 5. Somebody said there was lots. There's like 4 or 5. Is the
is this like there was a homosexual kiss in Lady and the Beast?
No. Beauty and the Beast. The girl, the like 17-year-old girl, takes over the body of Jack Black in the game.
Oh,
she's like, this thing's awesome. Or I guess Jack Black is, but
that's fun
because she's like, I could just, you know, pee all standing up.
Yeah. This is a highlight of being a male. I think that is the reason why you'd want to be a male. Yeah. Is you can write your name in the snow and everything.
There
you can
go.
Be pretty creative.
In
cursive, even. Yeah. And you can be pretty talented.
So besides that, though, the movie is entertaining. They have, you know, it's very much video game. They introduced the NPCs. I feel like they did a great job at how video games kind of move along.
Oh, that's good. It looked interesting. I wanted to go see it, so maybe Anna and I will catch it in the next little bit.
Yeah, I think we'll try.
And let's see.
Are you doing it this weekend?
Probably not this weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was thinking of watching that movie as well.
We might go back and watch it again.
I'll go with you guys if you need some company.
Do that, or it's going to be... what's the singing movie?
La La Land?
No.
We watched that. We couldn't even get past the first 20 minutes of it, Anne and I.
See, that I
was boring.
That just breaks Ryan Gosling's heart. This poor guy.
Sorry, Ryan.
So you're not going to like that with the Greatest Showman. Same songwriters. But it's, you know, Hugh Jackman. He's the creator and the main artist. Her. Main actor.
Yeah.
See.
I feel like Hugh Jackman is another trustworthy people. He has gentle eyes.
Oh, there you go.
Doesn't that have Zac Efron in it too? Like, is it that show?
The Greatest Showman?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because I thought I saw like previews with him and.
I think it is. Yeah. Yes.
Someone else.
Actually,
that
yes,
was
I'm thinking about it. Yes, that is. You are correct.
I didn't realize it was a musical. I thought it was just about Barnum and Bailey's.
Oh, I knew it was about that, but I did. Yeah, I heard it was a musical, and I was like, "Oh,
is that Iron Man?"
No, that's Wolverine.
Yeah. Oh, they're like the same person.
What?
all you white people look the same to me.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that the not Kevin Spacey movie has come out finally. All the Money in the World.
Oh,
yeah.
I haven't seen that one. Well, I don't know anything about it.
Well, I just know that it's a Ridley Scott movie that they had to pull Kevin Spacey from at the last minute is a complete movie, and then they recut Christopher Plummer in. But it took him 9 days to film, and then they released it.
If it's more like Moulin Rouge, that would be more up Ted and I's alley.
See, and I did not like that movie.
That's like one of our favorite movies. That was one of the overlapping movies that we had.
We had a bunch of the same, or a couple of same movies, and that was one of them. That was the best one of them, probably, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like musicals. So I just, like, that one I couldn't. I enjoyed La La Land.
So. Yeah, I love La La Land.
Did you guys get to watch Bright?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah? They are making a sequel.
Good, like Will Smith.
I'm not sure if he's going to be in it.
Did you guys see the promo for that movie, the YouTube promo with Will Smith in it?
But right? I saw an ad for it.
There's a YouTube promo where it's like a 4 minute short or whatever.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
It's pretty amazing, I'll say.
Look up.
I did enjoy the movie, though. It was fun.
All right. Yeah, I'm hoping they expand on it. There's apparently a lot of dislike about it. I'm just like, well, it was a short movie. Well, it was a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, it was 2 hours. It was like an hour and 53 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, critical dislike and savagery comes with the Will Smith package. I mean, I don't dislike him either. I like Denzel Washington. He's one of the actors that I think is the coolest actor, but I don't like almost any of his movies, and so it's one of those weird things.
All right. Well, we'll wrap things up, though. Famous last words.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Go ahead, Ted.
Don't let it in like this. Tell him I said something funny.
Happy New Year!